If people are dieting now more than ever before, then why are nearly 1 in 3 American adults overweight? Dr. Gundry, who's helped thousands lose weight and feel younger and healthier than ever, says most people are not getting enough fat-burning MCTs from their food. MCTs are a special kind of compound that, instead of turning into fat when you consume it, turns into ketones, which is a chemical that breaks down the excess fat in your body. So, by getting more MCTs in your diet, you essentially flip a switch that puts your body in caloric bypass mode, which can flush out excess fat and calories. And he's created an easy way for you to activate caloric bypass right at home. It's called MCT Wellness. This powerful blend of fat-flushing MCT powders and antioxidant-rich polyphenols is designed to help you unlock your body's fat-burning, energy-producing potential. What's even better is that it's a delicious drink. I love how incredible it tastes. All you do is add a scoop to water, enjoy, and watch as you start feeling slimmer and more energized. So, if you want to experience a quick, easy, and effective way to melt pounds fast, go to GundryMD.com/energy and order right now to get up to 53% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's GundryMD.com/energy.
Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.
The world of 911 emergency dispatching is brutally diverse. One minute you can be talking with someone about parking violations.
What's the process we are to take to have people towed? Because it's actually delaying the mail.
And then all hell can break loose. Then the rest of the day is crazy. We could have murders.
Hill County 911, what's your emergency?
I just killed my children.
Home invasions.
He's in my house.
I shot him.
You shot him?
He was coming up towards me and I shot him.
Natural disasters.
Tornadoes next to the goddess. I'm buried on the above to all my life.
Even bombings. My show, Music City 911, will put you in the dispatcher's chair, put you ear to ear with the callers and responders, and keep you on edge from start to finish. I hope to both educate and entertain, as I'm a 911 dispatcher with over 20 years experience. And just like dispatching, every episode is different from the last. Music City 911. Real 911 calls, real 911 dispatchers. Available to listen to on any podcast app.
Today is the September installment of my Intimate Partner Homicides in Canada in 2018 that I've been doing, and yet another one with a ridiculous defense argument, and even worse, a defense argument that puts the blame on the abused. This is the murder of Jose Narguin.
I don't remember anything after I left the house until I got to jail.
The law didn't come into my mind. I wasn't caring about the law. I was dealing with dead children on my hands. Fuck the law. I'm in trouble, man. My kids are dead.
But once I lied, I continued to lie. Yes, sir.
Why?
You know, oh, what a tangled web we weave. But once I told the lie, I had to keep lying.
What kind of person would do something? I'm asking you, what kind of person do you think would do something like that?
Obviously not someone, not a good person.
Now, you guys are likely sick of me saying this, but again, not a lot of background information on Josiane in life. I know that at the time of her murder, she was 34 years old and living in Danvers Avenue in the Park Extension area of Montreal, Quebec, in a well-maintained, cute little brownish brick orange house. I know that her mom's name is Gitane Gilbert, who described her daughter Josiane to TVA Nouvelles as independent, jovial, and self-confident. And that she was known as Josie. And the pictures that I have all seen of Josiane, I would certainly confirm all of that. She's got a very big smile that just like crinkled up her nose. She was just lovely, looked like somebody that I would really like to hang out with, very genuine and very approachable. And her father, Dennis Arguin. So Josie was living with her. Now, he's described in sort of all the reporting as her husband, but I'm pretty sure they weren't actually legally married because according to her mom, Gitane, the relationship was less than a year old. And it was actually only on August 7th of 2017 that she had posted on Facebook that she was in a relationship with him. And his name was Simon Brindmore. He was 38 at the time and he worked in construction. Now I'm trying to translate between like from French to English. And as I'm sure you are all painfully aware, I do not speak a word of French, but I know that French is one of those languages where words are either feminine or masculine. So when translated by Google Translate, sometimes it'll say things that I'm pretty sure in English we would say she, but they're saying he, and the phrasing doesn't always make perfect sense. So if I do get something wrong, that's on me. It's not on the reporting or anything. Anyways, Simon had been previously married to a woman named Sandra Cormier, but they had stayed friends and may have been more than friends, but I'm not sure. Don't quote me on that. But one of the things that Sandra and Simon had enjoyed doing together when they were married was to watch a lot of true crime documentaries. And Simon had always commented things like killing your girlfriend is the stupidest thing you could do because you're always going to get arrested. Like it's always the boyfriend. Now these conversations are kind of important later and it's not exactly spoilers that Simon is a complete jerk. I believe Simon also had three kids with Sandra who lived primarily with her. Now, sometime in very early September 2018, and I believe it was on the 7th, Dennis, Josiane's dad, called the house looking for her. And now I'm going on very loosely translated, so this is probably not what was actually said by Simon, but according to the Montreal Journal, it was. That he said, quote, "Jo is not with me for the moment. She took a hit at the finish the other night, and she blew me up, incoherent to understand nothing, and left with money." Now, that doesn't make a lot of sense. So the best that I can kind of clean it up based on my research is that Simon told Dennis that Josiane and him had had a fairly minor argument on September 1st, so a week before, and that she had gone off on him in a temper tantrum. She wasn't making any sense, and she left with a bunch of their joint money. Now, this taking a hit thing, he told Dennis that she had taken a hit of some kind of drug. Now, I don't think he ever specified what kind of drug it was. He explained that Josie wasn't really the Josie that they had known. She drank very heavily, she had a temper and was bipolar, and had been talking about going off her medication for that. And that she had also left with no explanation, and he was horribly worried about her. So he just didn't know what to do anymore and was considering reporting her as missing because there were a lot of new and dangerous drugs out there. She was completely incoherent at the time. She wasn't making a lick of sense and told Dennis, quote, "I just want to see her, to take her back in my arms, to tell her that everything will be fine. There was a calm and collected Josie who asks you if you love her and a stressed, derogatory, narcissistic, and jealous one. Jealous of the time I spent taking care of the field. I saw her lying to each and every one of them. I know she's done it in Western Canada before, and I saw her eyes when she told me about it, and I'm afraid I'm going to lose her," end quote. Now, Dennis and Gitane both had what I would consider a very normal and healthy relationship with Josiane. Dennis said, "She called us all the time. We had exchanges all the time, as much culinary as on everything related to art. We could talk to each other weekly, every 2 weeks. Sometimes she would go down to Quebec City and we would go to restaurants." So you could say that they were rather confused by this talk of Josie being a very different person with Simon. He said, "I didn't understand Joe was not the same. Joe would have called me without going through him. That made no sense. It wasn't Joe. Joe would have called me." So Simon had told Sandra, though, like his ex-wife, all about all of this, telling her that Josiane was a drinker, like she drank a lot, and that Simon had started drinking because of it, and that arguments had become frequent between the two of them. And Josiane's brother, who I don't know the name of, and Simon went around town putting up posters. Now, at this point, no one's contacted the police yet. And the best that I can kind of figure out about that is that Josiane's brother, Dennis and Gitan, nor any of her friends or coworkers, I guess, had reason to believe that she had not left of her own accord. They might have also been under the impression that you can't just report someone missing in Montreal when you're from Quebec City. Now, I'm just actually not really sure why she wasn't reported missing until September 15th. And that's when Simon went to the police station and reported her missing. And then he sent a text to Sandra saying, "I just reported her missing. I checked everywhere. No one saw her. It must be hidden somewhere. But after 14 days, I had to report it." So I believe the "must be hidden" means she must be. I mean, you can kind of see what I'm dealing with here with trying to sort out some of this stuff. And what Simon told the police about her disappearance was that she was a drug addict and had gone off the rails. She had been hiding a lot of things, and he wouldn't be surprised to learn that she'd been leading a double life. He also told investigator Corinne Simard, "He told me that he had found two girls who said that they had seen the victim 2 weeks ago, and then that a lady had seen her in Repentigy. He also said that a woman had seen her waiting for a drug dealer in a crack house." And of course, he mentioned that he'd been putting up these missing posters of her all around town, like she was a missing pet or something. I actually have no idea if the police were immediately suspicious of Simon and his story, but they did start searching for her, including at her house. I'm pretty sure Gitan was immediately suspicious, though, because she had made the trip from Quebec City to Montreal to help in the search with Simon, but Simon kept kind of begging her off and he wouldn't meet with her. But the police weren't able to come up with anything on Josiane. Like, there was no clues as to where she could have gone, who she was with, what happened, like if she'd have gone off on her own or something sinister had happened to her. Fortunately, though, like most domestic abusers and murderers, he wasn't able to keep his mouth shut.
If people are dieting now more than ever before, then why are nearly 1 in 3 American adults overweight? Dr. Gundry, who's helped thousands lose weight and feel younger and healthier than ever, says most people are not getting enough fat-burning MCTs from their food. MCTs are a special kind of compound that, instead of turning into fat when you consume it, turns into ketones, which is a chemical that breaks down the excess fat in your body. So, by getting more MCTs in your diet, you essentially flip a switch that puts your body in caloric bypass mode, which can flush out excess fat and calories. And he's created an easy way for you to activate caloric bypass right at home. It's called MCT Wellness. This powerful blend of fat-flushing MCT powders and antioxidant-rich polyphenols is designed to help you unlock your body's fat-burning, energy-producing potential. What's even better is that it's a delicious drink. I love how incredible it tastes. All you do is add a scoop to water, enjoy, and watch as you start feeling slimmer and more energized. So, if you want to experience a quick, easy, and effective way to melt pounds fast, go to GundryMD.com/energy and order right now to get up to 53% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's GundryMD.com/energy.
While the world whizzes by, enjoy a moment of me time with Tim Horton's $6 breakfast bundle. Savor a small hot or iced coffee, then add your choice of a mouth-watering hot breakfast sandwich and a crispy golden hash brown. Ooh. and your pick of a classic donut.
Yeah.
All for $6, all just for you. Make your mornings all about me time with our $6 breakfast bundle. Available at your neighborhood Tim Hortons. Price and participation vary. Terms apply.
Sometime in October, so after Josanne's been missing for a month, like her family completely distraught, beside themselves, they're at a complete loss, he texted Sandra again, remember his ex-wife, mother of his children, and apparent confidant, saying to the effect that he did the very stupid thing that he said not to, and asked her not to leave him out of fear and tell his kids that he loved them. It wasn't planned. He also apparently gave a bunch of details about what he had done to Josanne, but they aren't detailed in any reporting. But right after the words about doing this stupid thing, she knew right away that he had murdered her. Like, Sandra's no fool. So she went to the police, and Simon was arrested and brought in for questioning on November 1st of 2018, which I'm not going to play the interview because it's in French. And instead, I'm just going to tell you all the things that he told the police and then later the jury. Now, prepare yourself, because this is a doozy of a story. Basically, it starts with the usual. She was the problem. She drank, she had a drug problem, and some mental health issues. He, of course, was a bit of a long-suffering martyr and was always trying to help her, the hot mess that she was, of course. And then sometime on September 1st, 2018, they're just hanging out like an ordinary day, and she fell down, like slipped and fell. No reason, she just fell down. Now, I believe this was in the kitchen. But she fell bad enough that she hurt her head somehow against the stove. And then for no reason at all, completely unprovoked and out of nowhere, she's down on the floor and she screams at him, "You hit me, you hit me." And he's trying to keep this crazy woman yelling complete nonsense at a distance. So he puts a chair between her and him and says, "I didn't touch you." And she runs out to the backyard and he runs after her. Just to catch up to her, to try to reassure her that, let's take care of that nasty bump on your head there, dear. You're not making any sense. So he takes her back inside and starts to ever so gently and lovingly treating her head wound, which is, I'm sure, like bleeding from this mysterious fall. And she hits him on the arm and flees into the backyard again, screaming, "I'm a battered woman." And he says, "I was going to help her. I get squeezed, pushed, and bumped." Like, he's just incredulous at this whole absurdity of this thing. Now, he also told them that earlier that day, he had been punched by her several times, again, for no reason. He had done absolutely nothing to deserve it. She's just this wild woman. So, as one would, he went inside, grabbed a pool cue in what he says he only remembers in snippets and three flashes. He came outside and told her, "If you want to be a beaten woman, you will know what it's like to be a beaten woman." And that was likely the last words that Josanne ever heard in her 34 years on this planet, because Simon says that in that moment, his brain cracked. I don't know why, I don't know how. What I know is that I didn't want to kill her. I can't say, I can't assume. Maybe I wanted to hit her with it, but I didn't want to. I certainly didn't want what happened. Probably to give her a couple blows, nothing more. I don't have any more details," end quote. What he obviously did do in those details that he suddenly can't remember is beat her within an inch of her life with a pool stick. And then when his brain has suddenly done this cracking, he says Josanne was crouched in front of him near a hedge in the backyard, still alive, but with blood coming out of her mouth. He says that she was in terrible pain and describes in detail the moans that she's making at this point. So he realizes this is no good and takes her inside, cradling her lovingly and carefully in his arms. Only, of course, as one does, he stumbled in the doorway and dropped her, saying, "Josanne hit the ground like a tree falls in the forest." And now she's in respiratory distress, so he tried to give her mouth to mouth, but it didn't work. She stopped breathing, giving, in his words, "sound of respiratory distress and collapse of the rib cage," end quote. So in his words again, completely frozen in panic, he went to the basement. Now, I'm not sure how you can do anything when you're frozen in panic, but he did. And he got a plastic sheet and covered her body with it. Now, apparently all of this happened kind of in the middle of the night. because very early that morning, he calls his friend and boss from his construction site, Danny Carboneau, asking for a silent driver. And Danny, like, he's half asleep at this time. He doesn't know what he's talking about and assumes he means some kind of tool or something. So he says, like, no, I don't have something like that, and then hangs up and goes back to sleep. And then, so, like, get this. He straps on a pair of rollerblades and skates to the construction site to see Danny at that site. And Danny says he was wafting some pretty strong odors of alcohol. Quote, he was very strange, end quote. So Danny says to him, like, what did you mean by this silent driver? What are you looking for? And Simon said, someone with a car who doesn't say a word. And then mumbles something about punches in the face in the morning, it doesn't work. So Danny's like, yeah, I don't have one of those. And is thinking to himself, I should probably go to the police about this. But a bit later, he gets a text from him saying, for the service I told you about, let it be, it fell through, as one might say. You would be very kind to keep it dead, not call anyone anymore, please. So Danny later told the jury, I have the impression he's asking me to be quiet. So Danny also at the trial testified that in mid-August of 2018, so about 2 weeks before that, he was in a car with Simon and he was rubbing his knuckles and he asked him about it and Simon said, I gave her one, she broke my chain. So anyways, Simon went back home without his silent driver secured and says that he couldn't eat for 3 days and only did his laundry. So he'd check Josiane's pulse every now and again just to make sure she wasn't faking it or in a, like, just a coma. So yeah, he's still in the house with her for like 3 days. And then realizing that he has to do something about this, he washed her body and cleaned the house from top to bottom, put her body in plastic and then into a hockey bag, which likely required some dismemberment. But we may never know, seeing as to this day her body has never been found, and then took a bus, like a city bus, with the hockey bag to another part of town and dumped it in a garbage bin. He is quoted in this police interview as saying, I never wanted to smash her head, break her arm, or watch her bathe in blood, end quote. At his trial, defense attorney Maxine Raymond, she didn't really offer much of a defense per se, other than that it should be manslaughter and not second degree, stating that the human brain is a complex thing. Sometimes it cracks. Unfortunately, this is what happened on September 1st, 2018 in the morning. A short circuit occurred and Simon Brindamore's brain did not function properly. And as for Simon, he asked for leniency because in his opinion, he was, quote, much more useful outside than in prison, end quote. Well, the jury disagreed with that, as do I. And in November 2020, he was convicted of second-degree murder in the death of Josiane Argeen and sentenced to life with no chance of parole for 16 years. And the judge had to ever so nicely remind the jury that just because Simon had said really crappy things about Josiane to them didn't mean that they were true, and they needed to keep that in mind. I mean, the justice was also not happy with Simon's attempts to pretend that Josiane was just missing and denied her family a proper farewell. Gitan has turned her grief into action and speaks out about hidden domestic violence. She had a very close relationship with Josiane and she had never brought up that she was a victim of violence. She says that like so many women, she was good at hiding it and that the hold by these men is often a very strong one. Quote, it's very hard to detect because they're ashamed. They don't want to talk. They're so scared. They are often confined in their homes and do not always have access to their cell phones, end quote. So her advice for those of us with mothers and adult daughters, she says it's important to be nosy and ask questions. When you have trouble reaching them or see them less often or more at all, you shouldn't hesitate. Looking back, she said that if there were some changes with Josiane when she had hooked up with Simon, quote, in my head, I told myself they were a united couple. I respected them. I didn't want to stick my nose in their business. It's as if she can no longer make decisions on her own. She always had to talk to Simon about it. I felt like she could not stay next to me. He was probably afraid that she would speak discreetly, but I understood that after this. She also feels that the police really need to do a better job with follow-ups after dealing with quarrels between couples, and discovered that actually a few months before Josiane's murder, the police had gone to the couple's home because of a dispute that they were having. And as soon as the quarrel gets out of the couple, it has to be followed. That doesn't mean it won't start again the next morning. It's like a dog that has tasted meat. It will always go eat meat. And on November 17th, 2021, after serving only 1 year, Simon was granted by the Parole Board of Canada leave to attend a funeral of a family member of his. Gitane was outraged. I mean, she still thinks of her daughter every time she has to put garbage in a container, saying, "I think about it all the time. Mourning for me is eternal." She was mostly pissed that he's getting out for a funeral. While the whole country is protesting and creating awareness and speaking out about femicide to try to make changes to the law regarding domestic and intimate partner homicides. I would completely agree with her on that. Like, this guy and his projectionism, like, I hate it when they do that, putting the blame on the victim and making them seem like the bad person. It's revisionist history, gaslighting. I think I need to do an episode about everything that's known about domestic violence and prevention, but also about the tactics and things that abusers use to gain control. They have like a playbook they use that's sick and twisted. And that was the very aggravating murder of Josiane Argueen. And I'm going to be back again next week with another episode. This season is winding down. I cannot believe it's September already. And as always, thank you so much for listening.
Ohio football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown, and he throws an awesome block so his teammate can score instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you another chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scorer scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. Everyone knows the most exciting part of football is the score. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you have a chance to keep the fun going even after the first player crosses the goal line. Plus, you can enjoy second chance all season long. Place a first TD scorer wager today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
This message comes from our sponsor, Teladoc Health. There are lots of reasons for wanting to be healthy. Family, work, living a fuller life. Teladoc Health understands. Whether you have diabetes, high blood pressure, or just need to manage your weight, Teladoc Health can help. Visit teladochealth.com/whatsyourwhy for more information. That's TELADOC health/whatsyourwhy.